Hello?
Okay, I'm here. It was breaking up last time pretty bad.
Yeah. But now we're gonna start on a way new topic. Do you know who Kawhi Leonard is?
No, I do not.
NBA phenomenon.
No, I'm not too good on basketball.
You know who the Los Angeles Lakers are, right?
Yes, I know the teams. I just don't know the players or what to do when I'm playing basketball.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of like that too. So we got Kawhi Leonard, which he just came off his best season winning a championship for the Toronto Raptors, which it was their very first championship. And he's going into free agency, and he has three teams that he's picking from. The Los Angeles Lakers, the Los Angeles Clippers, and Toronto. And currently, as it stands, it's looking like he will go to the Lakers, which, according to some sources, he will make about $11.7 million more dollars than he does in Toronto.
See,
because
if I may interrupt. See, the thing I don't like about modern-day sports, back in the day, you got paid a little bit. You just went out there to play sports for fun. You won a championship, you stayed with that team. Current-day sports, you're in it for the money. You see Bryce Harper. He was phenomenal with the team in Washington. Washington was really good. Bryce Harper leaves because he doesn't get enough money. $300 million? He obviously is arrogant. He thinks he's the greatest person out there, thinks he should get the most money. And in this case, Mr. Leonard, he should stay with Toronto. He got them the championship, so he's going to be like, I got my championship, I'm going to go leave, you know, just because there's more money somewhere else. I don't like that in modern-day sports.
It's understandable. But honestly, I'm just going to call up Bryce Harper on this. Believe it or not, by the end of his career, but then he signed like a 10-year, $300 million contract.
Yes, that was the contract he got.
And does he have an option with that? Like, he can opt out of his contract in his sixth year?
I'm a little iffy on the contract part, like what the contract states. But all I know is that it's 10-year, $300 million.
Think about it. The next 10 years, he can own his own MLB team. He can own his own baseball team in the next 10 years.
Yes, he could, if he didn't spend any money.
Yeah. I mean, counting that he doesn't spend any of that money, which we all know he will.
He could get a third of the Yankees with the amount of money. If he retired in 10 years, he could buy a third of the Yankees.
Which, think about it. The Yankees are already a contender. They've been a contender these last 100 years.
Yes. The Yankees, I do not like the Yankees, but I got to say, the Yankees are a good team. This year, in the past, since 2009, they get to the playoffs and they choke. But they've never been that good as they used to be, at least.
That's true. I mean, I definitely think the best Yankees team was definitely in the 1920s with Babe Ruth.
1926 Yankees. Lou Gehrig, Babe Ruth, bringing it all in.
Those are definitely the two greatest baseball players, I believe, in all time. But definitely in recent times, I would definitely say it was David Ortiz.
Yes.
Jeter, Alex Rodriguez, before it came out that he was taking steroids
Barry
and stuff
Bonds,
like that.
Barry Bonds, although before he took steroids, again, he was a legend, but all by taking steroids. I do not crown him the king of home runs. I grant that to Henry Hank Aaron. He fought for that title. Barry Bonds drugged himself to that title. He cheated to that title.
I mean, I honestly believe steroids should only be used to heal, like to heal yourself, like for medical reasons, but it shouldn't be used as an enhancement drug to make you go up and be stronger and be someone that you're not.
Yeah, PhD. That is not a PhD. Performance enhancing drug, PEDs. They should be banned in all sports, and I think they are banned in most sports. But some sports that still allow are a disgrace to their own game because they are basically saying we are going to let you cheat to break records. We're going to let you cheat. We're going to ruin this sport because you want to cheat and be good because you're not. You just want to cheat your way through.
Believe it or not, they've banned a lot of stuff that makes you cheat. Believe it or not, there was almost like putty. It was called Stick'Em. They would use it in like football. And they'd use it like basketball. But basically what it does, it's a sticky substance that you could catch like footballs, but Jerry Rice.
Yes. And
he had a glove with Stick'Em on it. And they found that he was using it. It wasn't banned at the time. And they decided to ban it. Either way, he still was the greatest wide receiver of all time, even without it.
And Who am I thinking? Pine tar. Pine tar on baseball bats.
Yep.
That's the same exact thing to give you better grip. And, like, those the substances that help the ball fly out of your hand better, like snot or some of those substances that you can rub on the ball.
You ever watch the movie Major League?
Yes, that is the greatest movie of all time. Or not the greatest movie, but a good movie.
That's what I was thinking about the guy using snot to throw better pitches.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
That's the movie, when you referenced that was the movie I was thinking about.
Yes.
And if you think about it, that snot does work. Honestly, I think before games, they should check you if you have any of that stuff on you. Then immediately you should be ejected. They find that stuff
on you. Like what he said, like in Major League, it's funny that we're referring to a movie on the air, but in Major League, he said that he had a substance like jalapeno sauce in like his back pocket or something like that. So if he needed some extra spice, he just put it in, rub it on his nose, get some snot rubbing, and then just wipe it and put it on the ball.
Yeah, which is very disgusting in a way, but it does work.
It works, yeah. It helps you throw the ball harder and farther. That's what she said.
If throw it faster.
Yes.
Me, as much as I've never played baseball in my life, but when I did, I've come to notice when the ball tends to be, like, when it has, like, water or something, like, some sort of substance, it's faster to throw.
Yes, and that's why when baseballs get wet, they don't want you throwing it. That's why they exchange balls when they get, like, too wet or something.
Is it because of the friction part?
It might be because it slides out of your hand easier. So you can throw better, like, curveballs. Sinkers.
I mean, you know, and definitely all the times I've played baseball, which I've never played professional baseball, but I've played baseball with my friends. We've only used like one ball, and like when it would rain, I'd automatically get striked out. Well, struck out. It's
yeah, it's insane the amount of materials that can go onto a baseball to make it fly faster and better.
I mean, you know, it's kind of also the same in softball. I mean, I don't see how they can pitch, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same in all sports. I mean, the only sport that I've seen that water actually decreases the performance is football.
Yes.
Because think about it, when the ball gets wet, they exchange it. But when the ball gets wet during the game, I mean, like, wide receiver goes up for a catch, it's going to slip out of their hands. Yeah. But going back to the topic of, like, performance-enhancing drugs and stuff like that, believe it or not, there's this linebacker that played for the Oakland Raiders in the 1990s. He was considered the meanest and baddest person of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have at least 3-4 sacks a game. And believe it or not, it came out after he retired that he was using steroids for 15 years during his career. And after he done it, you know, not to sound offensive, but you know how people looked after the Holocaust?
Yes.
He looked that.
Wow.
He ended up dying right after, too.
Because of the steroid use? Because then his body got used to him and he didn't use him anymore. And then he got.
Then withdrawal happened.
Then he deflated.
Yep. I swear, nowadays they don't even lift weights anymore. Like, they use steroids, then they'll go lift. Like, build your muscle naturally.
I know, because also, like, what it does is it's gross stuff that's necessary. It's kind of like testosterone. It's testosterone, but without, like, a little tinier, like, not as much, not as powerful. But in women, if you take steroids, you have you'll grow a mustache. Because of the muscles and everything that you're growing with the hormones changes in your bodies.
Mm-hmm. Well, damn, I did not know about that part. That's a good thing to know.
I know.
Yeah, honestly, I definitely think, you know, a drug test should be done before every game. But definitely see if they're on steroids. And honestly, you're going to come to find a lot of people are going to be suspended if they did a drug test before every game.
Yes. They should do drug tests at least, however long it takes for steroids to settle in. Like, you inject yourself with steroids. They should do it for the amount of time it takes them to send it off, test it, and bring it back before a game. Because then they would find how many players are actually using the drugs.
I mean, lineman from the Eagles, Jason Kelce, I think his name is. Yeah, he had retired, and he had revealed that he had been smoking weed throughout his career to help heal his wounds and stuff like that, help his injuries. And believe it or not, he got away with it because the Eagles would tell him when his drug test is, and he would do it way before the drug test. And believe it or not, there is some good things about marijuana, but there's also some bad things.
Yeah, like you can get too high, and then you get crazy, you get in a car, you don't know that you're driving, and you get in a car.
And you crash and kill somebody.
It's like alcohol, but it doesn't kill you by doing too much of it. It kills you by your choices and actions that you do after.
Believe it or not, if you smoke 32 pounds marijuana in one sitting, which is very impossible, you have to do it in less than 5 minutes, it can kill you.
Yeah, that's insane. That's like drinking 3 beers in 5 minutes. Yeah. Just chug them all down and then expect to be smooth sailing.
just imagine, you know, you're sitting on the porch, you cracked a cold one, and you did, and you're like, oh, you know, oop, first drink, oh, I'm drunk, and you just drink up the rest. Imagine that. But yeah. 10 times worse.
Exactly.
That's what you get from smoking all that. I mean, then I believe it actually kills the oxygen from your brain, and that's what kills you.
Yeah, and there's another thing. I forgot what it's called. It's like marijuana, but it's sprayed with a special chemical.
CBD?
Yes, and it's sprayed with a special chemical, and they put it in these little pouches for you, and it hits you 10 times harder, and it's extremely worse, and the withdrawal symptoms from it are worse than weed and alcohol, because the withdrawal symptoms include you.
Wait. Are you talking about synthetic marijuana?
Synthetic marijuana, yes.
Because CBD is an oil.
Oh yeah. Okay, I'm so confused. But anyway, yeah, synthetic marijuana. We did this. I researched this a little bit. It somehow I don't know the name. It is sprayed with chemicals, and the withdrawal symptoms are harder. It hits you harder. That, if we were to legalize weed, that should not be legalized, because that is bad.
I think all grown natural marijuana is fine. Like, believe it or not, in the 1930s, the lumber industry went after the hemp industry, because you can turn hemp into paper.
Yeah, and that's the main reason why they do not want hemp or marijuana legalized, is because America is run by the big industries. Wall Street. America's run by Wall Street and the big corporations. And the only reason that weed is not legalized now is because the war on drugs with Richard Nixon. He was lobbied into illegalizing weed.
Wait. But weed was illegalized by FDR in 1935.
But he had the choice. What I'm saying is that he had the choice to legalize it. They said, these people came to his desk, and they're like, dude, there's nothing wrong with this, legalize it. He was going to legalize it. He was lobbied by the papers of the lumber industry, the big corporations, to not signing it.
So, what I'm hearing, so he got out-lobbied by the big corporations.
Yes.
By the monopoly, almost. Because believe it or not, the lumber industry and Wall Street have a monopoly on the United States, which is pretty messed up.
Yeah.
They're basically oligarchs. It's basically an oligarchy almost. Because think about it.
It's not a religious oligarchy. It's an oligarchy. It's run by these big corporations that are just running and lobbying our lawmakers, our congressmen, our senators, our president, even. And they're lobbying these people with big fluctuates of cash. And that's why we have to get campaign finance reform. That's why we have to get campaign finance reform, so these big industries can't buy out candidates, which will then buy out the election. Candidates today are winning not based solely on their issues, but based solely on getting lobbied, getting money, and spending all that money and buying their way to their seat.
So you know who John DeFrancesco is, right?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, my mom was a lobbyist for almost 5 years, and she worked for him.
Really?
Yep, she worked for him when he was a part of the New York State Assembly. And I swear, that guy, he ran for governor. He should have won the nomination. Because what I've noticed out of him, he's an honest guy. He's not afraid to say what needs to be said. And I didn't think the Republican Party of New York liked that. Like, if you notice some of the most honest...
I do not think that Mark Molinaro was a good candidate. As you saw, he was weak. He was ineffective. The only thing that he did was place out signs in front of people's yard that said, vote for me. That's all he did. And that's not a way to win a governor.
Exactly. You got to bring topics that are going to help New York. And you know Christine Gillibrand, right?
Christine Gillibrand, yes, running for president.
Believe it or not, she blocked me on Twitter.
She blocked you on Twitter?
Yep, because of what I had said to her. She was talking about how great of a president she would be. And I ended up saying, what have you done in New York State that qualifies you to be president?
Nothing. She didn't even win. She's only won one election. She served 12 years. She's only won one election because Hillary Clinton was the senator of New York at the time. Governor Cuomo and his insiders, she had no reason. She was not qualified at all to be senator. He should have picked a representative to come in and be senator because they know how legislation works. Instead, and this isn't even the state senate that he picked her from. This is the state assembly that he picked her from. She went from the state assembly all the way to the Senate, and she was not qualified at all. And that's why, one of the reasons why I don't like Andrew Cuomo, because of what he did with Kirsten Gillibrand. She did not have any experience. She did not deserve to be in the Senate.
I'm going to admit one thing about Andrew Cuomo. He has not done that bad of a job of New York, but he definitely could do way better. And Kirsten Gillibrand does nothing for our state. She's all for, you know, big, big New York City. And honestly, I think we should just separate New York City, create its own state, and let upstate New York control itself.
Did you see Mark Molinaro? Almost the whole entire state voted for Mark Molinaro for president or governor. Southern New York, Albany, all the way down through New York City, Manhattan, the boroughs of New York, they voted for Andrew Cuomo, and that's the only reason he's winning elections, is because New York City has such big influence. It's like upstate New York does not even matter. Their voice doesn't even matter.
Exactly. That's what I hate about our elections. Honestly, New York State should be separate. Like, New York City should be separate as its own state.
Or maybe the mayor runs New York City. Like, there should be no governor of New York City. And the mayor, Bill de Blasio, as much as I do not like his policies, he has the worst excuses. I was at an interview. I was late to an interview because my alarm clock didn't go off.
Like, that's not an excuse. Next time, just get another alarm clock and set it. Or get up earlier.
It's still his fault. Anyways, Bill de Blasio, as much as I do not like him, the mayor should control that, and upstate New York should be the governor. Because the mayor technically controls all of New York City.
But, you know, the main thing I honestly hate about all of this is, like, they have so much people down in New York City, right?
Mm-hmm.
That all their votes topple art. Do you know what the Great Compromise was?
The Great Compromise? Yes, I do. We learned it's slavery. It's coming to me.
It was basically where like the representatives, like Senate would be created after the New Jersey.
Oh yeah, yeah, yes, yes. Okay, now I remember. Yeah. Is it where the big states wanted lots of representation, so they wanted the House of Representatives, but little states wanted, they didn't think it was fair, so they wanted a set amount of legislators per state to even it out. But the big states didn't think that was fair. They thought that she'd have more influence on the union. So
came up with a compromise.
Compromise with a bicameral legislature, House of Representatives, gives bigger states more power. Senate gives everyone equal power.
Yep, it's almost like that whole argument again with New York City, because think about it. New York City gets more representation than upstate New York does.
Exactly.
And think about it. Upstate New York is what's powering New York.
I know. We're doing all the work. New York City's just putting up big buildings and saying, okay, here we are. Here.
Exactly. It's actually almost kind of sad.
It is. I but do believe that New York City should not be a part. It should not be a part of our gubernatorial elections.
That's true.
Because honestly, that's the only thing influencing. I could bring out if we had a camera in front of us instead of microphones in front of us. I could show everyone the map that has red for Mark Molinaro, blue for Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo just got Southern New York, Albany down, but the rest of it was all Mark Molinaro, all upstate New York.
Well, yeah. You know, it's like, if you think about it, most of New York is Republican.
Exactly. But the same in the presidential elections. The New York City decides it all. A majority of upstate New Yorkers, because they're all country people, and they agree with the Republicans on their stances on immigration because they probably grew up in the South.
And I'm going to tell you, it's basically going to be the farmers, the blacks, and the really, like, the old people that's going to win Trump his second term, to be honest. Like, more black people voted for Donald Trump than they voted for Hillary Clinton.
But if Joe Biden has nearly 50%, or not anymore, but if Joe Biden gains back his reputation after Kamala Harris, who's a phenomenal senator, after Kamala Harris called him out on the debate stage, saying about the busing issue, about how he didn't want to integrate the school systems, if he can earn the African-Americans trust back and he wins the Democratic nomination, I do believe he will take the African-American vote because he has more of them than Kamala Harris has. And she's African-American.
Believe it or not, I know you think Joe Biden's going to win the election. Last time, if he would have ran last election against Donald Trump, he would have won.
Yeah, but what I'm thinking here is, like, I don't think Joe Biden right now is going to win the nomination. If I were to pick someone to win the nomination,
it'd be Bernie Sanders.
No, he's in fourth place.
Oh, he is?
He's down there. It goes, so Joe Biden's polling at 22% in the polls.
Okay.
Kamala Harris is at 20% in the polls.
Good for her.
And that, I know, she is a good, hardworking American citizen. And then Elizabeth Warren, I don't know where she's at.
Probably, oh, Pocahontas?
Mm-hmm. She has some pretty good polls. She was strong in the debate. She is polling in like 13%. Bernie Sanders is down there in fourth place, like 10% maybe. Pete Buttigieg is in fifth place, 4%, pulling in at 4%.
You're going to come to find that, you know, like, I want there to be a woman president. No doubt. I think it's time for it. But none of these candidates that actually present themselves, I do not like.
The only one that I think would make a good female president is Kamala Harris. But I need to stand with Elise Stefanik on this issue. Elise Stefanik took to Time Magazine, and I read this in Time Magazine issue about a month and a half ago. Elise Stefanik goes, the Democrats won the majority. She's standing outside for the 116th congressional picture, where all the representatives come together in one picture, and they take a picture together. And say, this is class of the 116th Congressional Congress. Okay. Mm-hmm. She said she looked around. The Democrats had women, minorities. They were diverse. She looked on the Republican side of the... She found two other women representing the Republicans. And remind you, there's at least 100... What's the exact number? Like 190? 190... representatives on the Republican side
in the United States, like overall,
in the United States, 537. Three, what?
Because overall, like, there's 537 representatives. 435. Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
435, and then the Democrats have the majority, so they at least have 218. So I would estimate them 180. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but it's probably 180, 190. Because okay. The Democrats had a 234 or something. And she found three women, including herself, on the Republican side. That said, we need to run. We have to have more. Because if you look on the Republican side, how many Republican representatives can you name? Besides the, you can name more senators that are women on the Republican side, but you can't name anyone in Donald Trump's cabinet, the Republican side. You can't name more than half are men. More than half are white men. There's only one African-American in his cabinet.
And that is
Ben Carson.
Yep. Isn't he the director of...
He's the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development.
I don't know why they don't put him at the health division part. Like,
I know. That's what I didn't understand. I go, Dr. Ben Carson, he was the first person to separate Siamese twins. He is a phenomenal doctor. He has no experience whatsoever.
With home development.
He has no experience whatsoever with housing. He doesn't even probably know the costs that Americans are paying for mortgages. He doesn't know that mortgages need to be lowered, that there needs to be a cap on the interest on mortgages. He doesn't know any of that. Why isn't he in the medical field? Why isn't he in that place? And I need to say this, Betsy DeVos.
Oh my God, DeVos. I haven't heard her name in a while.
I know. Betsy DeVos is, if you're talking about unqualified, just look at Betsy DeVos and the education system.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The Department of Education is running amok.
Exactly.
Ever since Betsy DeVos said privatize education, even though one of the main principles of America is public education, Betsy DeVos thinks that she hasn't even worked in the school system. And she is the Secretary of the Department of Education.
Honestly, I think there should definitely be more public schools, but I definitely think if you're willing to, pay more, we'll scrap that. Think about it. There's better education in private schools like Bishop Grimes or Bishop Ludden than there is in public schools.
But and the thing in that. Private schools is that they're not, they get paid. And when you make the transition from public schools to private schools, when you publicize schools, their main job is to serve the government of the United States and educating our children. Private education, they don't care because your parents are paying for you to go there. So they don't care if you succeed or not because your parents are there. It's not that you're forced to be there. Your parents are paying for you to go there.
Believe it or not, I got a scholarship to CBA for football.
Really?
Yes, I've gotten that this year. I turned it down.
Wow.
Because I honestly love Central Square. I love the community around it. And believe it or not, I don't want to be with a bunch of rich kids. Because yeah, it's a whole demographic.
I have a 98-99 average in sixth grade. My dad wanted me to go to CBA because he thought I would be really smart. He wanted me to go there. But I really didn't want to go. And it was because you look around, CBA is more of like a family school.
Exactly.
You have to have a bloodline. You have to be rich, and you have to have a bloodline that goes to CBA. If you aren't those two things, if you're not rich and you don't have a bloodline, they don't care.
Then there's no sense.
They don't care.
But honestly,
public education, they care. They don't care if you're rich, poor, middle class, living on the streets. They're going to give you education. You're going to be treated equally by teachers. DASA Act. Was it DASA?
That was the No Children Left Behind Act of 2000.
2005?
Either one, because I know George W. Bush passed it.
I think it was 2005, No Child Left Behind Act of 2005. That made sure that public education is a priority to the citizens, and Betsy DeVos is trying to repeal the No Child Left Behind Act of 2005, which is absolutely disgusting.
It's horrendous what she's doing.
She needs to be stopped. And I did so well in my educational career that I was granted the Presidential Education Award.
I was too, actually.
And I saw it. I said, Donald Trump's signature. That is great. Betsy DeVos, I think President Trump is doing a pretty good job. He could be doing better on Medicare taxes. But Betsy DeVos, her name, I wanted to white it out. I wanted to white out Betsy DeVos' name so much.
I saw a couple weeks ago, I think either on your Instagram or Snapchat, that you sent a letter to Don Katko.
Me? Yes, I did. About Uber and Lyft drivers. They're not getting... What the heck is that? Something just fell on my deck. I don't know what that was.
Believe it or not, honestly... isn't he a senator?
Congressman.
Oh. Believe it or not...
Basically, I said Uber and Lyft drivers. I like John Katko, but he finds the littlest reason, the littlest risk, the tiniest risk in something, and he doesn't go for it. Even if it would benefit almost every single citizen, there's a tiny, tiny, tiny risk that it could fail, a less than 1% risk. He wouldn't take that risk. And that's what I don't like about him, is that he's not putting, even though Americans are crying for it, he won't do it because he wants to keep the rich and wealthy.
Exactly. But, you know, and I know him on a personal level. So that's my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said to my mother, if she decides to run for Congress or Senate, he will endorse her.
Yeah.
Well, even though we're not rich, we're like middle class.
Yeah, me too. I'm middle class. But honestly speaking, I do believe that John Katko should have done something. I might have the letter. I don't think I do. In my hand. I'd have to go around my house. But anyways, John Katko, I said, Uber and Lyft drivers, Time Magazine, great magazine. They show bipartisanship in their stories. I get a subscription to Time Magazine. Time Magazine says Uber and Lyft drivers strike May 8th, 2019. Uber and Lyft drivers go on strike. They're not getting fair compensation for their rides. They're not getting minimum wage, at least minimum wage. They don't know what their next check is going to be due to constant changing regulations.
And believe it or not, actually, minimum wage is a fair pay for them. Think about it. Because when someone enters their car, they don't know if they're going to be shot or robbed.
Exactly. And they can't keep going around changing their compensation regulations every single time. These poor workers don't know what they're going to get paid or when they're going to get paid. And it is disgusting. And I wrote to John Katko, I said, please introduce legislation to the House of Representatives that shows that taxi companies, Uber and Lyft drivers, these companies have to come up with fair compensation. I shouldn't even be asking for this. This should just be a given that they receive fair compensation. But he turned it down, saying he didn't want to risk a loss of jobs. Like, if anything, it would gain jobs for the
company. Like, it would,
people
actually.
People would want to go to Uber. They would want to go to Lyft. They would want to go to taxi companies for compensation. And he says that we would risk losing jobs.
Basically, you wouldn't, actually.
You would gain jobs in the economy because people are like, fair compensation. The middle class, the salaries would go up. Or the working class, I mean. The working class salaries, there would be less people on the streets if they're working for a taxi company. Because they know there would be less people on the streets knowing, because they know that they're going to receive fair compensation driving.
Well, it's definitely a lot to take in. So we're going to switch to another topic.
Yeah.
We're going to go back into sports.
Okay.
So, did you hear about the U.S. women team going to the finals for the World Cup?
Yes, and I want to say something about this. I don't know if it's true or not, but if it is true, shame on the United States team. The England team, before the game, brought up allegations of the women's team spying on their hotel room, taking pictures about their plans. And honestly, if that is true, I do believe that the coach should resign.
And honestly, if that is true, they should not play in the World Cup. It should be England
in the World Cup final. say, if they did that, that is disgusting. The coach should resign immediately, and they should, in England, they should have a rematch against England.
Honestly, because think about it. That's already the Deflategate, almost. It's almost like what the Patriots did to the Colts.
Yes.
I mean, it's... I thought you were going to talk about heckling, like, oh, they were heckling, you know, calling them a bunch of like, losers and stuff. I'm okay with that, because I used to heckle the other team during football. I would heckle the other team, and it would make them angry, and I'd laugh. But then it comes to a whole new level, which you said they're spying.
Yes.
That's technically considered cheating, as it is.
It is.
And it's sad. If that's actually proven true, it, honestly, either they should be eliminated from the World Cup, or, once again, like you said, rematch against England. I bet you England will win.
I guarantee it. If those allegations are true, that was the toughest game the United States Women's World Cup team has faced this year. That is the toughest team that they have faced. And honestly, I can believe it. They thought they sped their way through. They're like, we're going to win again this year. We're going to win again this year. They're flying their way through. All of a sudden, England comes along. They want to cheat. They want to win.
Hello, you there?
Yeah, I'm there. What?
Oh, sorry. I thought it was breaking up. Okay. But it's, you know, sports has become ridiculous.
It has.
Man, it's almost sad.
It is extremely sad. I wish that sports could be the way, even though my grandparents weren't even alive in the 1920s. I know that sports in the 1920s was not for the paycheck, was not for cheating. It was just to have fun. And as cheesy and cliche as that may sound, sports needs to get away from the money. It has to be Little League all the way.
About having fun.
About having fun. About having the people, giving the people a good time. Even though the people's minds, they might think it's a good time, it's a disgrace to the game. Because of all the people that fought and worked for their records, and now they're just getting blown over by PEDs.
Exactly. And, you know, I play football just to have fun, you know, and I love it. I do it because I want to make my parents proud, and I want to make, you know, I want to have a good time and get out of the house. And believe it or not, you know, I also kind of do it as a sample as I think about it, it could be a career. And, you know, but I also have options behind it. Like, I want to go into college in sports management and sports medicine. So, like, I could be, like, a doctor on field. You can make a lot of money like that. And then, or I'm, you know, want to be a lawyer, and I'll, you know, let's say I go to Syracuse University, I'll go for my political science degree. Like my mom.
Yeah, like, here's the thing. What was I going to say? Like, my brother, he's almost professional. He's a level below being professional for hockey. He is just, really? Yeah, he didn't make the team, but he's like, you know, junior hockey. He's at the highest level of junior hockey. And then there's college hockey, and then there's professional hockey. But he's just doing fun.
Does he play college?
He doesn't want to do it. Yes, of course he wants to play college. Of course he wants to go off and play professionally. But he's just doing it for fun at this point. He's like, even though I don't get a D1 scholarship, he goes, I'm still going to play for fun. I'm going to go to a college on a scholarship for hockey. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to play the game, and if it doesn't work out in the end, then it doesn't work out, and I'll get my teaching degree.
You know, I can respect that. I can respect that.
Yeah, my brother's a very respectable person. He's one of my – he's so nice and caring. He is honestly a great person. He does what he wants, even though people were like, you're stupid. Why don't you just get your education? You're never going to make it to – you're never going to make it through hockey. You're never going to go to the NHL. Otherwise, you would have been drafted by now. And he said, I don't care. And he still went off and he still played and had fun.
Believe it or not, you know, he can still go to the pros. He can still go play in the AHL. He can still go play in the Ontario League. He can go play wherever. He can even go play in Finland.
I know.
About how much work you put
in. He wants to play the game so much. He doesn't want to do it for the money or for the fame. All he wants to do is play. That he's willing to go all the way up to northern Michigan, right above the American-Canada border, right on the top of Michigan, just to play hockey.
I know what you mean. Is it the peninsula?
I think. You know where Sault Ste. Marie is?
Yeah, yes, I do.
Right there. About 2 hours north of Sault Ste. Marie.
I mean, you know, it's... Your brother sounds like a very devoted, dedicated person. That's the kind of athletes we need. That they're not, you know, they'll do that sport not for the money, but just to have fun. We need athletes like that.
Yes, we do.
And, you know, he could definitely go play in the AHL, NHL, even go play over in Finland.
He was this close. He was so close. You know what, the OHL?
Yes, I do. Ontario Hockey League.
He was so close to going to the OHL. He was getting traded. He was packing his bags to go the next day. Then the team said, no, we want you back. He was so close to achieving his dream, but then the team said, nope.
Damn, that's – I would be pretty messed up after that. But, you know, believe it or not, he still has to have a chance, but, you know, he still has a chance. But it's about the work that you put in, the dedication, how hard you're willing to work to get there. And if you see athletes like Jerome Bettis, you know who he is? You knew who Jerome Bettis was?
No.
Fullback from Detroit. You know, during high school, he wasn't even, you know, picked to go to college. But, you know, he started going out in, like, his sophomore, junior year. And he ended up getting college offers. But then he got mixed up with some drugs. And his parents had shaped him out. And, look, he's now a Hall of Famer, and he's a fullback. He played for the Los Angeles Rams and the Steelers. Mm-hmm. So do you know who also Barry Sanders is?
Barry Sanders? No.
Yeah. You don't know who Barry Sanders is? Running back, Detroit Lions. Once again, almost kind of the same story. Believe it or not, he didn't have college offers until his senior year.
Wow.
And you know, he started working harder and harder. And I've come to notice the harder you work in, like, high school, like, whatever sports you do, the better you're going to be, and the better chances of you going to college for that degree. That's college. Exactly.
Yes.
And, you know, and I've already started working with my father to where, I, you know, I would like to have at least college offers by my junior year. So, you know, he's going to start, you know, filming my games and practices.
Yeah.
For film. But, you know, that's not what I want my full-time career to be, at least.
Yeah. I mean, still, like, achieve, like, your goal, like, my brother wants to be a teacher. He wants to be a teacher, but he also wants to play professional hockey. You can't have both. So he wants to play in college, but I think he wants to be a teacher after he plays in college.
What's he want to teach?
Early education.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good. That's good.
Shaping the rest of kids' lives.
You know, believe it or not, you know, I've looked into that. I want to coach football.
Mm-hmm.
I want to teach the game. Because, honestly, I love the game so much, I want to teach kids how to play.
Exactly.
I want to be part of that. I want to set that example. You know, it's not about the winning stance of it. It's about, you know, teaching kids how great the sport is and how to have fun, too,
because it's a big influence on kids' life. Like, when you have a coach – and you have a good coach and you love that coach, you're going to remember that coach for the rest of your life and remember the ethics that he taught you when he was coaching.
And you're going to remember what he taught you. My coaches that I have now, you know, they do put a lot of trust in me. You know, they empower me. They inspire mm-hmm. me. Like, their speeches are so, you know, we were losing by at least 20 points. This is this is the fourth quarter of, like, 3 minutes to go, mm-hmm. right? And he was like, you know, we may be losing, but the best thing that you can do possibly now is either go get a comeback or be humble and play the game right for the last few minutes. And you know what ended up happening?
You guys came back?
We came back. We won by 1 point.
You know what?
We got a last-second interception, and we went downfield for a touchdown.
You know what? Great comeback. We're down 6-0. 5 or 6 minutes left in the third period. We are down. My dad he's the coach. He's like, everyone's just hanging their heads. And he goes, don't give up, don't give up. The score goals. All of a sudden, six goals go in. 1 minute left. Do you know Andrew Davis?
Yes, I do.
Maybe it was him. I don't know. He scored a lot of goals in that game. He was one of the reasons that we won that game in a majority of our games this year. Someone goes down. I forgot who it was. It was a long time ago, like November. He goes in, scores the game-winning goal with 1 minute left. We win 7-6.
Damn. That's some good stuff, you know.
My dad's been coaching for 10, 15 years. My dad's been coaching hockey for 15 years. He said it was the biggest comeback he's ever seen.
Oh, wow. You know, I play lacrosse, and we've had some pretty good comebacks. We had a comeback against Fulton.
Really?
Yeah, we were down about 5-1. And, you know, we're going to the final quarter. And I play defense. You know, well, they're coming downfield. And the guy comes up to me, tries to juke me out, and I slap the ball out of his net. I'm sick. You know, I scoop it up, and I'm running downfield. And I threw a very long pass to the corner, to the tack in the back. And the kid gets it, and he gets a goal instantly. And then there's a penalty. And we get the ball back, right? Mm-hmm. And we scored another goal, and they got the ball, and they're coming downfield after
the
face-off.
I'd like to announce that there's breaking news coming in from Fox News. Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher sentenced to reduced rank, partial pay, after being cleared of murder charges.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he kill an ISIS member? ISIS prisoner?
He did, but he shot them, but he didn't kill them. Someone testified with full immunity in the court that they were the one that cut off that woman's breathing tube, that teenage woman's breathing tube. And he was found not guilty of all charges, Eddie Gallagher, not guilty of all charges, all murder charges. They were dropped. But breaking news just came in that the Navy Navy reduced his rank and gave him partial pay, even though he was...
Is he now a lieutenant because he was an officer?
So, basically, I don't know what he was. I'm not too good on the story.
That's understandable. But, man. So, he shot ISIS members. Honestly, to be honest with you, I would have done the same. Look what they did to our people.
I think the only reason that all respect to John McCain and his family, wonderful people. But John McCain, he was a great armed service veteran. But he's one of the reasons that you can't go out and kill terrorists anymore and torture terrorists.
Exactly.
One of the reasons he dedicated a lot of big portion to not being able to torture people, which honestly, what are you going to do? Just let them sit there thinking about what they did? They're not going to learn. People in their terrorist tribe, they're not going to learn not to do that.
Exactly. That's why I think we need waterboarding.
Exactly.
Back.
John McCain was one of the big reasons why waterboarding is outlawed in America. Now, I can get extreme torturing, stripping you and your family of your clothes, whipping you, waterboarding you, shooting you. That's not torture. That's extreme inhumane torture. But waterboarding needs to come back. Chinese water torture, maybe, where they put the little drip on your forehead. Psychological torture.
Oh. You know what I think we should do, though? So, like, there's methods of doing waterboarding where they put a cloth over your face and they strap it down, right? Honestly, you know what we should do instead of the water? Gasoline.
Oh, yeah.
Gasoline.
That would bring them out.
That would bring them out, but it's also very inhumane, which, you
yeah,
know.
You can't, like, that would work. That would be extremely effective. But then again, looking back, John McCain's whole purpose, he has a different set, a different mindset of what's inhumane because he was tortured in Vietnam.
He was tortured in Vietnam.
He has a different set of what's inhumane and what's not. And maybe it's just because he was tortured. I hate to say it, but maybe since he was tortured, he doesn't want that to happen to anyone else, even though he didn't do anything wrong. Maybe his stances on inhumane torture are a little higher than ours. Than our stance on inhumane torture. Like, waterboarding. He was waterboarded in Vietnam. Maybe he thinks that that's inhumane, but to us, we may think it's effective. And again, that might just go back to his use in Vietnam.
Kind of an off-topic thing, but, you know, I'm looking through this bag of pennies, right? And they're pennies from the 1940s. Ooh. And, you know, I got the certificate of authenticity right here. This certificate of authenticity attests to the fact that the coins in this collection are genuine United States coinage. Genuine U.S. coins were produced in limited quantities by the United States. Basically saying, you know,
yeah,
real.
I know what authenticity is.
I'm happy about that. There are a bunch of coins from, like, the 1940s. It's all good. But, you know, No, no, I got off track. What were we talking about?
Water, like torture,
Oh yeah, waterboarding.
Yeah. Like I don't think we should go.
Man, but you know, there definitely needs to be a change in how we torture people.
I don't think that there should be going back to medieval times where they strap you on a blade and saw you in half while you're.
Oh no, that's inhumane right there.
I'm saying we shouldn't go back to that. But that's what we should qualify as inhumane. Doing that, or like John McCain, I read his memoir, amazing memoir, 400 pages of excellent writing. It stated that he went through and he saw pictures of this guy and his family. They were stripped naked, whipped, waterboarded, and shot and nearly killed. And they hung there for days, naked and with everything around them in a cold, dark prison, getting hypothermia.
Damn, that definitely seeing that will change your perspective.
Exactly. Now, he went, John McCain went, and he apologized on behalf of the United States for the torture he received. He took it to the Armed Forces Committee. I believe that the officers or the officers that did that received a dishonorable discharge.
I definitely think that's what they need, you know, dishonorable discharge.
Yes, like if Eddie Gallagher was sentenced, we would have gone as soon as if he was sentenced to life in prison, he would have immediately they would have said dishonorable discharge from the military.
Question for you.
Shoot it.
Do you know somebody by Evan Gallagher?
Huh?
Do you know a kid named Evan Gallagher?
Evan Gallagher?
Mm-hmm.
No.
He goes to your school.
Are you sure it's not Mason Gallagher?
Oh, it could be Mason Gallagher.
It's Mason Gallagher, yeah.
His mom is my teacher.
Really?
For health, yeah. So, you know, I also want to bring up this topic. It's a funny topic for me, at least. How many genders do you believe there are?
How many? Two.
Exactly. You know, I was reading up, apparently there's multiple genders, and there's one called intersex, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's apparently where ovaries and have a uterus, but still have a penis. And the only way you'll know if it's a girl or boy by the time they get to puberty, and I made a joke out of it yesterday. Oh my God, you know, one day you're just sitting there in bed and you have a penis, mm-hmm. right? Oh my God, I wake up. Oh my God, mom, my penis is on the ground. Mom, help me get the stapler gun.
Oh. Anyways, you know the code. You know. Do you know what the coexist sticker is? The coexist sticker, where they take all the signs from all the religions and they say it says coexist on it, like lesbians, gay rights,
Oh, yeah.
I saw this meme, a little off topic, but we have 7 minutes left because I got a doctor's appointment. And so right. Let's go to 1 hour. Let's go to a solid 1 hour, then we'll publish it. But what was I going to say?
You're talking about a meme.
Oh, yes. This meme, it said, Democrats are going to be mad when they finally realize the coexist sticker only has two genders on it.
That's true. Do you know who Owen Schroyer is?
Owen Schroeder?
Schroyer. Do you know what InfoWars is?
InfoWars. I think. Yeah, I watch them, but I don't. I haven't watched them in a while, so.
Shapiro is.
Ben Shapiro. Maybe.
Well, watch him. But there's clips of him and Owen Schroyer destroying SJW. It's amazing. It's honestly terrible what's happening with, you know, the censorship on YouTube, Twitter, and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Like, I think it's horrible. Detention centers, this comes off topic. Detention migrant facilities in Texas, Florida. Did you see Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez freaking out? Like, I do think that there should be regulations. Some people make the fact that there shouldn't be regulations on migrant facilities, that they're good the way they are because they came into this country illegally, and that they should pay if they're not going to roll out the red rug for them so they can wait to go back to Mexico. What I think the main reason that this is happening, that these migrant centers are the way they are I'm going to stand for reform of these detention centers until I'm going to stand that they need to be reformed until the United States fixes its immigration process, dies down ICE. ICE is too powerful. They're waiting the day after someone becomes an illegal immigrant. They deport them out of the country, and we shouldn't be deporting them. We should be opening them up. We should lower the time it takes for you to get from your visa to your citizenship green card. We should lower that time because, and we should open up like our hearts and arms. The only way ICE should really deport people, I think the only reason that ICE should really deport people is when in severe cases, like a migrant shoots and kills a migrant, shoots and kills someone, then they should be deported. But we shouldn't be deporting innocent citizens that just want to find asylum into the United States. And again, we need to open it up. These asylum seekers have no choice. They're saying it's their choice. Don't come to our country illegally. They have no choice. They're being persecuted. They're seeking asylum in the United States. But we're shutting them down, saying they should not seek asylum, and it's for no reason. And it's not their fault. I overheard a conversation, people talking, saying that it's their fault they came here illegally. It's their fault that they're in that detention center. So we shouldn't put our money into the detention centers to fix it up when it's their fault. Sometimes it's not their fault. Sometimes they have no choice, and they have to seek asylum into the United States of America.
But I'm definitely going to say, you know, there needs to be a change in how we deal with immigration. Exactly. You know, like, people are calling these detention centers concentration
camps. They're not concentration camps, but they're close to it.
Yep. Tell me, does these detention camps have do they have gas
chambers? Well, concentration camps, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I can see her anger. She said they were on their best behavior there, and they told someone to drink out of a toilet. But I can see her anger there. But concentration camps, it's a little, it's not as bad as a concentration camp. Concentration camps, you're kidnapped, you're given no water, you're put to hard labor, and then they kill you.
Yep. Believe it or not, sorry, I'm eating goldfish and drinking juice.
That's funny. Now, one question. I did make my own podcast. I made it a long time ago. I didn't know this app existed until today. I didn't know this app actually existed until today. So I just did it on voice memos, and you couldn't do anything. You couldn't insert clips of, like, President Trump. You couldn't insert clips of, like, President Trump saying something. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would stop, and you couldn't do anything. But now that this is here, it's called the Political Hour.
Ah, I like that idea.
And I made it a long time ago. And honestly, now I want you to be a guest on it tonight. Or tomorrow, because I have a lot of... Maybe tomorrow, 4th of July, we'll talk about it. Our main topics that we're going to be discussing are the crisis in Iran, detention centers, taxes, Medicare for all, and the debates. The Democratic debates, and if you were to choose one person, who would it be?
What?
So, what?
But, you know, we've got at least 1 minute left into this podcast. You know, thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
It was definitely a good podcast, definitely for a first episode.
Exactly. Like, your 50th is going to be, not going to be perfect, but it's going to be better. Your first podcast is always going to be bad. Your first game is always going to be bad. Your first practice, your first time doing anything, you're always going to look back and say you did bad on this. But, like, honestly, I think we didn't do bad.
You know, we didn't do too bad this time, but, you know, it was definitely a good podcast. We could definitely talk about more and arrange our time better. You know, we got a couple more seconds left into the podcast. But, you know, thank you for coming on, though, talking about these topics. You know, this is the human, you know, this is the human perspective of life. Welcome on to the show.
Mm-hmm.
With your, you know, And to close off, you know, your host, Maurice Waldron, and our special guest, Drew.
Thank you for coming on.
Oh, you are welcome. This was a good experience. And
it was.
This is a great experience. And honestly, I think I'm going to invite you. Some of the topics I'll cover by myself, but near the end, when we're getting towards the big, like, I'll cover the mini topics by myself, like just stories that I think the nation should pick up on more than they're not. But like the big issues, like Iran, I want some other people taking, like, I would like other people taking a stance on this with me. So I'll bring you in on that show for those parts of it.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on the show. This is the first episode of The Human Perspective of Life. Your host, Maurice Austin. I want to wish you guys a great day. All right, bye.